It's time once again for Insight with Jack Stogler on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. Insight with Jack Stogler is being brought to you by the community-minded sponsors you're going to hear during today's broadcast. Without further ado, here's your host, Mr. Jack Stogler.
And we're back on Insight for the first time in how long, Rucker?
At least 2 months.
It's close to that.
Welcome home, Jack.
Thank you. It's great to be back.
It's great for me for you to be back.
Yeah. Well, and we welcome in studio the village administrator of Fort Recovery, Mr. Randy Diller. Hello, RD.
Jack, how are you?
Very good, buddy. And how's the Diller family?
Diller family's doing good. Doing good.
How many grandkids you got now?
Seven.
Seven.
Not enough.
From 10 to 2.
From 10 to 2. Just like Dr. Pepper.
Yeah.
Well, 10, pretty 2, much. And 4.
Oh, 10, 2, and 4.
I have all those. I have a 10, 2, and a 4.
Perfect. So we're going to take some time and talk about village stuff. And there's a lot of things going on with things being on the levee. And I know that there's COVID money and there's street projects and there's a lot of stuff to cover. But what I'd like to do is to take a real quick break. And we will be back to talk to Randy Diller about Fort Recovery stuff right after this.
It's Halloween weekend, and Brick Street Tavern is having a big party this Saturday. Costumes are welcome, and Rock and Russ will be playing your dance and party music all night long. So get your costume ready, grab your friends, and head on up for a great party. Don't miss the Halloween party at Brick Street Tavern this Saturday night. It's always one of the biggest parties of the year. And they'll have Hammer Jockeys playing live next Saturday night.
Need a better job where the benefits are great. A family-friendly company with competitive pay. Where people stop and greet me when they see my smiling face. Cooper Farms. It's more than a workplace.
Locations in Van Wert, Fort Recovery, St. Henry, Rossburg, and Coldwater. Start at $15.25 an hour for full-time production. Flexible options available, too. To apply, visit CooperFarmsJobs.com. Cooper Farms, it's more than a workplace.
Hello, I'm Kenny Canote from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio. I'm inviting you to come and see the new Endurance line of litter spreaders from Salford BBI at K&L Tractor. These spreaders are available in pull type and truck mount models and are designed to be the toughest, most durable spreader in the market today. The Endurance wide swath litter spreader is designed with the poultry grower in mind. With Salford BBI's rugged design and construction, you can more efficiently spread your materials, saving you time and money. Come see these remarkable spreaders from Salford BBI today at K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio.
Election Day is coming up on Tuesday, November 2nd, and once again, the Trinity Lutheran Church will be having their popular spaghetti supper. They'll be serving from 4 to 7 p.m., and again this year, it will be carry-out only, and there will be no pre-sale tickets. The carry-out meal includes spaghetti, breadsticks, salad, and dessert. Just follow the signs on North Wayne Street for their drive-through. Tickets are again only $6, and all proceeds will go to their local Friends in Need Fund. So don't miss the Trinity Lutheran's annual Election Day Spaghetti Supper from 4 to 7 on Tuesday, November 2nd. The 2021 general election is coming up on Tuesday, November 2nd. Voters in the village of Fort Recovery and the voters in Gibson and Recovery Townships will all vote at the Fort Recovery American Legion. The polls will be open from 6:30 a.m. to 7:30 p.m., and early voting at the courthouse is available now to eligible voters with no need to give a reason. The last day for early voting will be Monday, November 1st, the day before Election Day, from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the courthouse. For all precincts in the county, we will be electing members of the County Governing Board of Educational Services. For the Fort Recovery School District, Sean Colleague and Nick Werkamp are running unopposed for the school board. In the village of Fort Recovery, Eric Feely, Lucas Knapke, Greg Schmitz, and Clef Wendell will be running unopposed for the village council. Also on the ballot for Fort Recovery residents will be a 2.5 mil renewal levy for street repairs and a request by Casey's General Store for a permit to sell wine on Sundays. In Gibson Township, Donald Colleague and Gary Post are running unopposed for township trustees. For Recovery Township, they will also be electing two township trustees, and Nick Kramer and Scott Overman are running unopposed. Be sure you get out and vote on November 2nd, anytime from 6:30 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. at the Legion. It's your right and your obligation. Your obligation.
We're back. Insight. Jack Stogler, Village Administrator, Mr. Randy Diller. And first of all, let's talk about you.
Talk about me.
Yeah. So you've been the Village Administrator for how long?
It'll finishing up my 27th year.
27th year. So that means you started in 1994.
January 1 of 95.
January 1 of 95. So
I didn't go to work that day, though.
Yeah. Oh, my God. You took the day off your first day.
I got
a
holiday my first day of work.
So when, like, you look back, okay, 1995 to where we are now, what's the two biggest changes, differences between then and now?
Well, I mean, obviously, everything that runs like a business is all dependent upon a couple of things, and that is good people and the resources to do the work. So those two things have changed very well over the years. We've got a great crew working now, doing some good stuff. And since about the time I came in was when they were just starting to develop the industrial parks in town. And, now we're basically fully developed and have, quite a few jobs here in Fort Recovery. And that allows us the resources to be able to fund the projects we try to do. So
do you have a number of, like, how many people are actually employed in Fort Recovery?
We put together some numbers once in a while, but we're not always totally accurate. But yeah. And part of the industries is in town, and part of it's out of town, and Cooper's is in town, and part of it's out of town. So, you know, we don't always have a totally accurate number, but, you know, if you just look at, you know, JR, J&M, the Cooper's that is in town, the school, you know, the biggest employers that we have in town, we got to be pushing 800 to 1,000 people, so, in a town of 1,500, so.
That's pretty good. Mm-hmm. That's pretty good.
And then, you know, you got the industries right outside of town that's employing a lot of people from Fort Recovery, so.
Yeah. So, when you compare the challenges that you face now, when, like, you go into the office now versus when you went into the office in 1995, what's different about the challenges that you or the town faces?
Well, I think the biggest challenges back then were that there was nobody that had worked on a day-to-day basis in the role that I take. You know, it was always dependent upon the mayor and the council to take care of business and the employees, and there was nobody to really run the show, and it was tough for them to get things done. Now, I give them all a lot of credit. You know, all those guys back then put a lot of time in and effort. But when I first started, I mean, I can tell stories, and I do tell stories about when I first started. I mean, one of the best stories I have is the first day I'm there, I go around and meet the employees, or talk to the employees, which I had talked to them before, but, you know, I wanted to formally talk to him. And then so the second day I come into the office, and Janet McCain was the clerk back then, and she walks back and says, "Randy, you have a phone call." I said, "All right." So I pick up the phone. I said, "Oh no, you got to come out to my desk to take the phone call," because there was no phone system. I mean, they didn't have a phone system.
There's a clerk number and a mayor number.
Yeah. So if they called on the mayor number, it would ring in my office. But if it called on the clerk, it rang in her office. And there was no transfer. Well, that changed about a week later. Because honestly, when I started, the village had one computer, and it only took care of payroll. That's all it did. That's it. Everything else was handwritten, balanced. And, you know, so that's not stuff that I necessarily changed, but has changed for the better over the years. Now, of course, everything's automated and so forth. One of the other things that occurred when I first came was, of course, you know, I was a banker by trade, so I could handle the financial side, but, you know, how do you handle the utility street side when you don't really have a background in that? So you look at, you know, what do you have on paper to help you? Nothing.
Nothing. Nothing.
Rudy yeah. Wendell.
I mean, we did. Yeah. I mean, and he was retired already. Yeah. So.
And Elmer Wendell.
Yeah. So, you know, we just didn't have a lot in writing.
And Harold Ranley.
We didn't have plans. And, you know, so we have, you know, spent a lot of time making sure that that stuff is readily available. You know, one of the things we can talk about later is, you know, we're going as far now as we're developing what they call a GIS system with our utilities. So not only will we have it, but we'll have it at our fingertips where we can look at, excuse me, this hydrant. You know, it was last flushed this day. The flow rate was this. This is the last time it had maintenance done on it. That'll all be at a fingertip yeah. as opposed to trying to piece together invoices and whatever to get to that. Yeah. So we've come a long way. Obviously, it was a necessity to get to that point just for efficiency and,
sure.
and so forth.
Well, you know what? And you're probably taking a lot of practices that are pretty common in the business sector, you know, and you're using them to improve efficiency of the town, too. So that's,
well, and that's one of the things we focused on early was that for everybody to understand, especially the people that work there and the council and the mayor, to understand that this is a business. I mean, it's yeah. still a government, but it is a, you got to run it like a business. And yeah. so you got to do the things that businesses do. Now, you know, we talk about it all the time. You know, the biggest difference is from their minds, I have 1,500 bosses, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, and that's not all bad. I mean, sure. that's the idea of government is they should be able to provide input. And they do. And that's okay. I mean, I'm certainly don't ever turn down anybody's opinion. I don't always agree, but yeah. I'll listen. So.
Sure. So, you know, and you one other major difference is today you deal with COVID, okay? So, you know, the town through the state program or maybe even federal program actually benefited from some of the COVID money, right?
Certainly.
So how was that? And we welcome in the studio the man, the mayor, Mr. Dave Kalp. Hello, Kalpy.
Hi, Jack.
So,
apologies for being a little tardy.
Hey, that's all right. I know you've had a busy evening.
Yeah, been a busy day.
Yeah. So the COVID money. Tell me about where that came from, what it was kind of pinpointed for, and how much it was, and how's that going?
Well, as you read and hear, COVID has evolved since the first stages of it. You know, they came out with the first COVID money. They put X amount, and it was based on different factors, population and different things. But you got X amount of money, and they gave you a list that was really short on what you could spend it on. And it was meant to be for COVID.
Yeah.
But that targets more of the first responder type thing. If you have EMTs, if you have firemen, you know, we don't have any of that. You know, yeah. we don't have any of those on our payroll. You know, we have guys in the community that do that. But so it was fairly limited what we could spend it on. And in that first round, one of the things that they allowed us to do was set up and distribute money to local businesses that had a negative impact on COVID. So we had done that here in Fort Recovery. One of the things we did was we allowed them to apply for up to $5,000. They had to meet certain parameters and get it. And I think we ended up with $65,000 in that program.
Well, I was going to say, didn't we end up with like
13 or 14. So 65 people or 70,000 we put out. Out of our first chunk. And then as everything else happens, it comes back to us and they say, oh, by the way, we've changed now. Now you can include your police department. So we could have taken all of our payroll for our police department out of that. Well, by then we'd already started the program. We weren't going to change it. And it was a good thing. You know, yeah, the businesses here got hurt hard early.
Wasn't our initial tally when we got through, you know, didn't we put like some like hand sanitizers in?
Oh, yeah. We spent some things that made sense. We put hand dryers in.
But
we bought hand sanitizing machines for the pools, for the parks, for the town hall, for those types of things.
We had like maybe $1,200 or something in bills. I mean,
but we just didn't have the types of expenses that they were saying.
Sure.
You know, would we have needed that money? No. Were we going to not take it or not spend it if we got it? No. I'm going to give it out to local businesses before I'm going to send it back.
Yep.
So that's what we did. Now it's coming back again with the second wave of it after the ARPA bill was passed. And we'll look to get about $155,000-$160,000 out of that. And they have included some opportunities there where we can spend it on water and sewer utilities. Still fairly limited on how we can do some of those things. But what they've done is they've allowed us till the end of 2024 to actually spend that money.
Oh.
So
is that federal money or state money?
Well, it's federal. It's channeled through the state. But yes.
Okay.
It comes from the federal government through the state, and then they pass it out.
So it's printed money instead of money we've worked for and paid in. Because the reason I'm asking, state budgets have, by law and by logic, have to balance. And the federal budget doesn't, so they can spend money they don't have, or the states can't do that.
Well,
that means something else has to get cut, like police departments or something else has to get cut for them to...
The federal government...
The state to give money away.
Distributed it all to the states and then said, you know, here's the money. You got to help the local governments, the townships, the counties, and even school districts all got a chunk of this money. Yeah. So it came with tiers of requirements, both from the federal government, from the state. But what we're doing is we've got that into a fund. You know, we're waiting for that. Oh, yeah, by the way, you can now spend it on this.
Yeah.
So we're not in a hurry to spend it. We got some projects in mind, and we're working on some right now that we could possibly use it for if they come to fruition. So, but we won't have the other half of it till next year sometime, so then that's when we'll start really looking.
Did we get the first payment?
We got our first payment. We got 76 or 79,000.
So does the potential vaccine mandate affect the town?
No.
You have to have 100 employees.
We have to have 100 employees, which we have 10, you know, typically. 10 full-time. Yeah. So we're not anywhere close, but no, it doesn't.
Well, I didn't know if there was something about government employees. You know, you see that at some of the other...
They haven't come down and said, you have to have it or we're not giving you money kind of thing yet. But, you know, will they? I don't know.
Well, I wouldn't push it.
I wouldn't be shocked if they didn't do something like that, but they haven't at this point that I know of, no.
So, Neil, is now a good time for a break before I start another topic?
We can, yeah.
Okay, yep. I'll tell you what, we're going to take a break, and then we're going to talk about what projects are you wrapping up? Which ones can you see in the future that are coming up? So we'll be back right after this.
Klingchern & Sons Trucking Incorporated is a family-owned and operated business in Burkittsville. They have over 50 years of experience, and they pride themselves on their commitment to punctual transportation and exceptional customer service. They offer local and long-haul transportation. They have dump trucks, stone slingers, flatbeds, vans, and refrigerated trailers. They have great employment opportunities as well. Visit their website at klingchernandsons.com or call them at 937-338-5000. Call Klingchern & Sons Trucking for all your transportation needs.
The versatile Kubota B-Series is a do-it-all tractor. run powerful attachments that can be easily switched out. It features a hydrostatic transmission and is simple to maintain. The Kubota B-Series. It makes the hard work look easy. Talk to your local Kubota dealer today to schedule a demo.
Your local Kubota dealer is Hall Brothers in Fort Recovery, Ohio.
It's time to eat, and you don't have time to make supper. Just call Miracle Lanes at 375-4274. Everybody can get what they want, whether it's their great sandwiches, fried goodies, subs, salads, or their awesome pizza. Just call them when they'll get it ready for you, then just drive through and pick it up. And it's time to start thinking about reserving lanes for a holiday get-together or birthday party. And don't forget their awesome pizza wing and salad buffet every Friday at lunch. They open at 3 Monday through Thursday and 11 a.m. on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Be sure to put their number in your phone so you can call them with one touch. 375-4274. Miracle Lanes, great food and lots of fun. After defeating a tough Lincoln View team last night, our Lady Indians will now take on the St. Henry Lady Redskins tomorrow night at Van Wert for the district championship at 6:30. We'll simulcast Rob Weaver's coverage of the match, and you can watch it on the NFHS video. On Saturday, our football team will begin the playoffs, traveling to Arcanum to take on the Trojans with the Wayne Street Market pregame show starting at 6:40. Get out to the games to support our Indians teams in the postseason, but if you just can't get to the games in person, you can always listen live right here on Fort Recovery Radio, the home of the Indians.
We're back, Insight, with two prominent members of Fort Recovery.
Well, thank
we have
you,
the
Jack.
Mayor, Mr. Dave Kalt.
Oh, sorry.
The village administrator.
I thought you meant myself and Rocker.
Oh, well.
Counting new. Yes.
That's four. Four. And the village administrator, Mr. Randy Diller, and we're just talking about all things Fort related. So, you know, I think everybody has seen and has experienced the new
Elm Street.
You know, I think it would seem like that's working out great.
Yeah, I would agree that it is working out great.
Certainly haven't had any complaints from anybody at this point, so. That's normally a good sign.
Yeah. You know, it would seem like that corner there, well, the corner right here in front of the radio station, the KFC hall, like that has to help with the truck traffic not going through there anymore.
Oh, I would certainly think it's a major
There's business. Still trucks going through there.
Yeah. And they will until...
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind
as long as their GPS tells them that's the way to go, that's where they're going.
Yeah, I had one turn going east on 119, turn north onto the brick street today. I haven't seen that in a long time.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, but I mean, why? Because his GPS told him to go that way. But that's kind of a two or three stage thing. You know, we now have it as a truck route. It's not State Route 149. It's a truck route. So trucks are allowed to go that way. Encouraged to go that way, and anybody that goes that way will continue to go that way.
Yeah. If they go the second time, they're going to come back to the old three turn.
If you're coming through town, you're traveling and you're not familiar with it, and you're taught to stay on the state route, you know, they're going to stay on the state route. Even though it says truck route, they're going to stay on the state route. And so they do, and they're allowed to yet.
Yeah.
You know, the second phase of now we have the truck route. The second phase is to get 49 rerouted, officially rerouted.
Is that a process?
It's well, ODOT's involved, so
yeah,
it's a process. we're in it now. We're in that process now. So, and we don't anticipate any issues with it, but it's still got to go through it. One of the things that we're required to do and we'll be doing is. As part of the ODOT process, we're required to have a public meeting that we are considering this. So people have the opportunity to come in and voice their opinion. So we'll be having that on November 15th as part of our council meeting. We'll be part of that will be a public meeting to discuss the reroute of 49. Yeah. So
from a construction standpoint, it's done. Correct.
Yeah, I think the only thing change wise you'll see will be some street markings and some signage differences. Yep. But other than that, it's construction wise, it's done.
So,
So what other projects have recently been completed that people may or may not be aware of?
A lot of things in the water plant. Yeah, we've been, a lot of stuff around in the water plant that people don't see.
Upgrades to our water plant over the last 5 years, so each year is another piece of that puzzle. Mm-hmm. We've done some things specifically with our lime. We use lime to soften our water here, and so we have a lime feeder. We have lime sludge that comes out the other end. So we're doing some things different to deal with both of those. Feed it better and take care of the sludge in a different manner. We're actually got a press that dries it out and makes it a cake as opposed to a soup. That's hard to get rid of. Yep. So once we can get that up and running 100%, we can eliminate a lot of that sludge.
So is that lime easy to get rid of? I mean,
fairly, yeah.
Well, like most farmers take it and put it on their
field? Especially when it's dry. I think when it comes out dry, then they'll be much happier to take it. Yeah. And they can spread it easier and things like that.
We have to get what's fairly... actually desired by EPA to reuse those types of products as opposed to landfill. So we have to get a permit to land apply it.
Okay.
But it's a general permit. Now we have to report every place it gets applied and when it gets applied, what the weather was like that day, all those things, even though it's lime. It's not...
just a neutral pH.
But you have to do those things. So that's what we're in the process of doing that now. And it's... it'll work out. I mean, it'll all work out. So
like the lagoon or the little pond thing that's out, like
by the water plant.
Yeah,
that'll get smaller. Okay.
So like that'll get smaller. You mm-hmm. say
it'll likely get smaller. We won't get rid of it because we always have that as a backup for lime sludge. But we won't need it to be the size it is, and we can maybe make it a little easier to maintain around it because now it's fairly steep on the outsides. And so we've got some plans for that. As we get down next year, we'll be looking to clean that pond out completely, get it totally cleaned out. We'll put in some different equipment in there to dewater it all the time and keep it easier to maintain.
Yeah. So I won't be able to drive my grandkids back here and tell them that that's where their turds go.
That's not exactly where they do go. No. And speaking of that, we did have some issues with that this spring, but obviously everybody remembers our lagoons we had back there and some of the smells that we had. That was terrible. And that was another thing that we had done through the fall last year and summer last year. And, you do all the studies and you try to make the best decisions that you can make, and you go with a company that put in this thing, and in the end, it did. We got it, but it was a couple of tough months there during the odor days there for a while. But now, if you go back there, you really, I mean, there isn't hardly any smell.
It's something we'll continue to stay on top of, and a lot of that has to do with the type of sludge you treat, if it's domestic waste, it's somewhat similar. If you get some industrial waste, then you got to do some different things. So it's all a process, and we understand the process pretty well now, and we know the things to look for when they're happening.
And our sludge is actually it's working. It's getting rid of it. It's doing what it's supposed to do, which is perfect.
Yep.
So who's our lagoon expert? I mean, like, if, like, you know, you have to go back there and you have to check and see if this thing's working the way that it's supposed to. Is it something that you call somebody, or is it...
I mean, for now, Ryan
Tinn is our utility superintendent, and he has the training and the certificates and the licenses to operate those things. Yeah. So with that, he has a fairly good knowledge. Now, it's like anything else. You know, there's always somebody that knows more and can teach you stuff. So we have people that we now work with, consulting and companies that have people that can help us dramatically change things in a hurry, and that's what we needed to do in the spring. And now we're on top of that. We know what'll have to happen when it happens. And
so from a village standpoint, what is our water and sewage budget?
Budget?
Yeah.
Well, that
What's it cost us to maintain the water, maintain the lagoons, all the stuff it has to
That changes, you know, again, a lot of that's based on the capital expenditures you put into it. But if you're talking about operating budget without capital, our annual budget would probably be somewhere around $600,000.
So that's a big chunk of the average.
Well, it's got its own income, though.
Yeah, that's your water bill.
Yeah, that's
okay.
That's
your water bill that, you know.
And is it 100% self-funded?
It is to the extent of operating. Now, again, if we get into capital
stuff,
then you start looking at some different
things. Very, very little bit of it out of your water bill is actually put into a fund for capital expenses.
Right.
Okay. I mean, the majority of it is used for operating.
Do you guys know, like, do you guys compare, like, the average Fort Recovery water bill compared to other towns?
We're actually pretty good.
Yeah. Is that right?
We're very good.
Yeah. EPA, USDA, any of those places that look at those things, specifically when it comes to funding projects, they look at what your average water bill is in relation to your median household income. So they want a certain percentage of your utility bill to be a certain percentage of your median household income. Well, we're not anywhere close. So we don't qualify for a lot of those types of funding because in order to qualify, we'd have to triple our rates.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's just crazy. You know, we'll try to save the money and go about it in a different route. So,
yeah, we're pretty fortunate. And I know we raised it 2 years ago.
Well, we've added a multiplier now, so we don't raise it. You know, wait 6 years and then raise it a bunch.
We
raise it a little bit every other year or so now.
That's what we didn't raise it for a long time, and then all of a sudden we bumped it up.
Yeah. So, what's next? What's the next big project that you guys can see being on the horizon?
Probably 119.
Well, we're working on a couple different things, though. As Kepler says, you know, 119 is the biggest street project that we're actually physically working on now, but that's a ways out. But we're looking at a total reconstruction of Butler Street, which is 119 here in town. We actually got a little over $1 million grant from ODOT to help us with that. Now, the portion we submitted was from basically the intersection of the two highways west. So we're going to do that as phase one. Well, phase one came up to
3.7.
Well, depending on how far you go, it's somewhere between 2.7 and 3.8, depending on what expenditures we end up with in there.
And, like, that would take it to the city limits?
It would go. The city limits out there is staggered because all of the Ambassador Park is in town. So what we have proposed is to take a sidewalk all the way to their drive entrance. So if you're walking on the sidewalk, you can walk down to the Ambassador Drive and then go in the park, walk the park, you know. But the other side, it would stop at the Corp line, which is by the Jennifer's cleaning place there.
Yeah.
That's the biggest project we have out there.
That would be so great to get that accomplished for our town. But there's some hurdles there.
There's some hurdles. Obviously, if it's a $3 million project and we got $1 million in it,
we got
there's 2 million hurdles.
Yeah, right, we got a long way to go.
There's still 2 million hurdles. Well, but
don't add it to the water bill.
Yeah, exactly.
So, like, what are the options?
There's other funding sources out there, but okay. So, what we got from ODOT, the way they do their funding, and this is called a TAP grant. The way they do that, they only pay for certain things.
Yeah.
And so you put your whole budget together for that project, and they pull out the things they'll pay for, which came up, and they'll pay for maybe 70-80% of those things. So what they came up with, they would pay for a little over $1 million out of that $3 million. So, but they're out 5 years when they do that. So when they tell you you get the money, right now we're looking at it being approved and ready to be bid late in 2024 with a project in 2025. So we got time, and there's other funding sources, but you can't hold them that long, so you got to wait to apply for them till we get a little closer so we can match those time frames up, and we'll be doing that. I mean, we're obviously on top of that working, but we're looking for some other additional ways to do it, and you know.
And will like that include like a sewer and water line thing? That would
pretty much all that's done.
Okay,
there is some water line work we need to do. The oldest water line we have in town happens to be under Butler Street from Forsyth Street to the Five Point on the other side of the school. That section's still an old cast line. Working fine, but you're not going to put a new street over it. So that's part of the project, is to replace that water line. The sanitary and the storm has been mostly done through the sewer separation project. So now all we have to do is add the storm collecting lines, you know, off the street, those types of things you do with any project. So catch basins and that type of stuff. So that's pretty well done. But it'll include, you know, total reconstruction of the street, curbs, sidewalks, street lights.
Whole new base, which is what we need.
Yeah, obviously, if you looked at it this year, it needed some work, and we did get some done. But you know, it's temporary.
It's
it's temporary, but we didn't want to go in there and spend a lot of money for something we're working to tear out in 3 or 4 years.
And I don't know whether this has anything to do with the town or not, but the high school baseball diamond, okay, the Legion diamond, whatever you want to call it.
Yep.
Who owns that?
Well, the school did. The school owned the baseball field where we played baseball. You mean our varsity team? Yeah, that was owned by the school.
So, so what will happen to that?
We've actually got a contract with the school to purchase that.
Yeah, Village does. Yeah,
Village does now. That's a twofold thing. Obviously, what will we use it for? Right now, we use it as a baseball field when that happens.
Yeah. I mean,
that's its best use for us right now is as a baseball field. Down the road, you know, our water plant is pushing 40 years old, and it's in great shape, and the guys have done a good job of keeping it up, and we've upgraded the controls and everything else. So, you know, it's our belief that it can last another 15 years without any problems. But after that, you know, if you need extra space, it's not always easy to find, so when you have those opportunities close by, you take them. And so we had an agreement with the school to buy it once the other field is completely done and in use. So,
So I tell you what, we're going to take another break, and we're going to come back and talk about. I know we have a couple of things on the levee that's coming up that we should probably touch on, and you know, talk about the future, too. So we'll be back right after this.
Remember that scene in the Indiana Jones movie where the old knight tells him to choose wisely? Hi, I'm Connor Ramel with Fort Recovery Insurance. When it comes to insurance, choose wisely. Now, I'm not an old knight, but I do know insurance. From farms to factories to cars and ATVs, don't just spin the wheel and choose the first one that comes up. Insurance is too important not to have some local advice on what is wisest for you. FortRecoveryInsurance.com, your local agent for Ohio Mutual Insurance Group.
This is the first thing you hear after the power goes out. Silence. But that doesn't last very long. The next thing you hear is complaining, then the inevitable whining. No TV, no power for laptops and tablets. How long do you think their cell phone will last without a recharge? How about your cell phone? Now's the time to call Reasoner Energy and talk about Generac generators. Not only do they operate quietly, a Generac generator from Reasoner will silence complaining and whining. Call 419-678-4858.
Lee Street Market always has great prices and great selection. Here are just a few items in their freezer section that'll help you save time and money. They have about a dozen varieties of Banquet and Michelina's frozen dinners for just $4 for $5. Packages of Hot Pockets are $2 for $5. They have 8-count packages of Best Choice Burritos for $4.99, and Banquet Pot Pies are $5 for $5. And they have many varieties of ready-to-heat and eat meals from Healthy Choice, Lean Cuisine, and P.F. Chang's. Stop in and check out their selection at Wayne Street Market, your hometown store that saves you more. Halloween festivities in Fort Recovery will be held on Sunday, October 31st. The traditional Halloween parade will start at the high school commons at 2 o'clock, and it'll end at Van Treese Park, where the costume judging will start around 2:30. There will be prizes awarded in several categories of costumes. Then it's trick-or-treat time from 3 to 5. Residents, please turn on your porch light if you want the trick-or-treaters to stop, and trick-or-treaters, please only stop at the houses with their porch lights on. Sunday, October 31st, Halloween fun in Fort Recovery. Parade starting at the High School Commons at 2 o'clock, costume judging at Van Trees Park at 2:30, trick-or-treat from 3 to 5.
While you're out trick-or-treating this Sunday, you're invited to stop by Christ Chapel, the Red Door Church, for Fall Fest from 3 to 6 p.m. In addition to trunk or treat, they're going to have games, crafts, pumpkin painting, a campfire, chili, and hot chocolate and cider. All are welcome, so stop by for a minute or spend the afternoon at Fall Fest at Christ Chapel, 105 South Elm Street. Elm Street.
We're back in sight. Jack and just a bunch of clowns here talking about Fort Recovery stuff. So, speaking of clowns, yeah. Mayor, you get to have one of your most important duties here come Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, I got to judge the Halloween costumes. And last year, who was it? Pastor Q, I think. Me. And it might have been maybe Amy Wendell was the judges, potentially.
It's a tough job.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. There is some...
So... just to give some of the listeners a little bit of insight on insight.
Ooh, that's good. Jack.
Is there anything that you tend to like migrate to and give extra points? I mean, like are like you a strong superhero fan or
I like the football players, the ones that dress up with the football helmets, yeah. And the baseball players and you know, the spooks. I'm not big into spooks. Never was.
Neil likes clowns.
Neil's a clown guy? I thought he was scared of clowns.
No, I'm not scared of clowns. They're scared of me.
Oh, clowns are scared of Neil.
They see me and they go the other way. I do not like
so
clowns.
So for those of you going up to the Halloween parade.
Especially if they wear Green Bay Packers stuff.
Yes.
There you go.
That's even bigger.
There you go.
Green Bay Packers and Reds.
Yeah, that helps a bunch.
So you now have a bit of insight on getting the inside track here. So we were talking about various town projects, and I think that you can't touch on these things without talking about our parks. Okay, it just seems like every year we add something or upgrade something that just makes it even better. So what's the latest, or is there anything new coming?
I always said, Jack, and my thought is how quickly we forget what we used to have and how fast we come accompanied and accustomed to the new stuff, and we just keep wanting more. Got to have more. But man, if you could go back in the village of Fort Recovery and look at, if we had drones like when Randy started or whatever, and visualize the town and see the changes that have happened over the course of 25 years, it would be amazing. And you can see where your dollars are going. And our parks is definitely one of the areas that have just, they're awesome. And I'm awfully proud of the parks that we have and the park board. And, we have, Friso kind of took over for the Little Leagues and all that, and they've done a nice job with, the ball diamonds. But our setup that we've got out there at the pool park is, it's as nice as anybody. So Jack, awful proud of that.
Jack can remember these days when the first duties I took with the town was on a park board. And just so happened Jack was on it at the time. And we developed those ball diamonds at Community Park back then. There was a field, it had a shelter house and a restroom up on the hill, and a playground, an old playground.
Yeah.
And to think then that we would be where we're at now would be hard to picture. It really would be. It's just really because we've made so many super changes. Take the Paul Stogler Trail, for example. 20 years ago, we didn't think about a trail. I mean, that wasn't even something you thought about. It just wasn't popular. It wasn't anything. Now we have it, and, of course, I live where I can see it, and it's being used all the time, night, day, mornings. I mean, it's all the time, and it's a great addition, and you know, it's something we obviously want to expand on down the road. Where and how, you know, we'll figure that out as we go. But we got some ideas, obviously. But yeah, the parks are certainly a source of pride for us, and we want to keep them that way. You know, that's the other part about it is we want to keep it that way. You know, one of the things that you say, what's coming down the road? Well, there's two projects that I can think of right now that are coming down the road. One is that we intend to look and see there are some funding sources out there that we plan to utilize to do a pool upgrade. Our pool was built in 1984, so again, it's pushing 40 years. And
still seems like it was yesterday.
It needs some serious upgrades. I mean, it's just 40 years old. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. It runs great. It works fine. But so we have some big plans for that, and a lot of it will depending on what funding's out there. But we plan to do some major work here in the next couple of years on that. The other one that's being worked on right now is the Sawyer Overman Playground Ninja course that they're looking at building in honor of memory of Sawyer. So we're working with them.
What a neat way to remember a little guy.
Wouldn't that be cool? When we get that accomplished and get that built in there, it'll be really cool.
So, like, is like that already kind of penciled in to go someplace?
That's part of what we're working on.
Yeah, it's in the works.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, our parks are getting full.
Yeah.
And that's what happens with parks. You eventually have to expand your parks or figure out something new, and so we're looking at those options now, and we'll come up with something.
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to make it work. We're going to make it work for the...
Yeah, it's too good a project not to figure something out.
And it's got a great deal of support from pretty much community-wide.
Yeah.
So if you've ever dealt with playground equipment or park equipment or anything like that, you know that it's not cheap. It's just not. And so They've got some work to do, but they got a great group working on it, and I don't have any
get there.
Qualms thinking that they won't get there.
Yeah, they'll get there.
So,
without a doubt. So, and then, you know, one of the things that you hear a lot about is the, like, emergency service stuff. Like, so, Kalki, I know that you attend your regular... Yeah, and I don't know if it's like Southern Mercer County.
I'm on the board for the Southern Mercer County Ambulance Squad,
So is there any changes coming with that? Or?
Well, we're getting our new ambulance. So one of the things, you know, you guys touched on earlier about the COVID money is we were fortunate enough to get some of the money from the townships that are involved in our district, in the ambulance district. So, you know, like the townships were held to the same rules as kind of the villages. They weren't allowed to use that money except for certain things. Well, they don't have police departments, right? They wanted to buy snowplows and road ditch mowers, you know, but that wasn't a thing that they were allowed to purchase. So working with the townships and through the county and through the state, we come to find out that they could actually use some of that money and give it to their emergency responders. So that was huge for the district to be able to get some of those funds from COVID to purchase a new squad. So that is actually supposed to come sometime in November, I think. We'll have it, and then it'll probably take a month to get everything switched over and stuff like that before we actually have it out on the road. But
now, will that be a new or brand replacement? Spanking. Will it be a replacement or an addition, I guess?
Well, it will be. So right now we have two squads at St. Henry, and the reality of it is a used ambulance really isn't worth much. It's incredible. When we were going through kind of the separation through the county EMS, and getting prices on what the ambulances and stuff was worth, it was like, it was ridiculous how inexpensive they, I mean, like $2,500 is what wow. an ambulance was worth. And yeah, it was, it had some age to it, but you know, it looks like $1 million and yeah. still does the job. But the new ones, you know, anytime you have equipment that is aged, the new stuff obviously has the new technology and the yep. new, so we were trying to upgrade our ambulances and you know, St. Henry was over time, but you just actually needed a new body, right? You needed yep. a whole new ambulance. So it'll be awesome for us to have that new ambulance. And I know that the EMTs and stuff are excited about it.
Yeah.
They've actually had, you know, it kind of started out with, the issues was, you know, it's since 1974, the St. Henry squad was all volunteer time.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was volunteered. So everybody that came, you know, on the ambulance and stuff, that was all strictly volunteer. And then when COVID hit, a lot of the, you know, older responders really didn't want to go
sure.
to somebody's house. Because A, we didn't know if it was COVID, and if it was, you know, you had to put your spacesuit on to work with them. So they really lost a lot of the older responders. So when we separated, our goal was, you know, if you go on call, I think it's like from Sunday night at midnight to the following Sunday night at midnight, you're on call. So those hours, they never really got a penny for any of that. And then they kind of had to stick around and be somewhat available, right? So with the levy that we passed and, you know, with the funds that we'll get, we actually can pay them a little stipend to be on call. And it's, and they've actually had, oh, I think the number is actually approaching 20 as far as new people to come in.
Awesome.
To, you know, because now, yeah, we can be on call if I'm going to get a couple $100, you know. And you may not get called out all week, you know. It could be that way. And yeah. and you may get called out three times the same day. So it's
do they get paid more if they go, if there's a call?
Well, they always got paid a run call.
Okay.
So you always got a certain amount of money when you went on a run, but you didn't get paid anything
like yeah.
when
like
you were
$15
on call. Yeah, I mean, yeah.
So it's but still.
Yeah. But it, and a lot of the people, you know, a lot of the employers around, you know, basically paid them to be
yes.
a first responder. Yeah. I mean, it'd be great. I'd love to have a first responder on my crew.
Yes.
And obviously, you know, I would, if they had to take off, and yes, I would somehow make sure they got paid. But,
yeah.
And a lot of the employers are doing that, and which it's awesome. So it's been a learning experience to be on that board at the district. And, you know, that's another thing that we take for granted, right?
Yeah.
We take for granted that somebody's going to come get us. And it's not that easy. And we're fortunate to be where we're at and live where we are to have the people that, you know, will take care of us.
Yeah.
So it's been great.
So the St. Henry squad.
Yeah.
Their territory is from where to where?
Oh, that's a really good question. It's kind of, it's almost like a school district in a sense, you know, kind of goofy that is. But
four southern townships in Mercer County.
It's
okay.
Recovery Gibson.
Recovery Gibson.
And then
Granville and Marion.
Yep.
Yeah,
okay.
We get into like, but Osgood has its own. See, so that you get out that way. It's kind of a little corner out in there. Chickasaw, I think we cover Chickasaw.
Chickasaw, St. Henry, Burkittsville, and Fort Recovery are the four incorporated villages.
Yeah. Okay. So they do an awesome job, and it's actually been kind of an honor to be on it, and I kind of wanted to be on it.
Yeah.
So once we got separated from the county, and I think, you know, I don't think the county was super excited about the whole deal, because obviously we were taking funds away from the county and putting it towards our own thing, but that was the only way we felt that it was going to be
sustainable.
Yeah, the only way we were going to make this work is if we could do it ourselves, and I think you'll see that happen in Coldwater too. And you know, you go through Coldwater and you'll see a sign out there. It says, yeah. You know, we need EMTs, and you know, so did we do it perfect? We don't know yet, right? But we got as much guidance as we could and made the best decisions that we could. And I think so far, so good.
Yeah. And I think it needs to be noted that even though we're our own district, we still are back up for the county. The county's still back up for us. Sure. So if they need a second squad in Coldwater, they'll call St. Henry.
Without a doubt.
And they'll go up there and do that. It's not like there was a split from that standpoint. It's from an operation, you know, they still work together very well. So
talking about the future stuff, and last time I talked to Larry Brown up here, he had talked about like the school having like a 5-year strategic plan. Is there something like that in place for the village of Fort Recovery?
Randy's farther than that out, I think, aren't you, Randy?
We have a 5-year plan, both from an operational standpoint, equipment, and a project. So we update that at the end of every year. Obviously, it's a work in progress all the time. So we have ideas of what we want to get done. Does that always the order that it happens? No. But we have them on the list. So, you know, right now we probably have 6 streets on the list that we want to reconstruct, you know, and there's some of them are single blocks, some of them are 2 blocks, you know, just in areas that need to be updated with curb sidewalks and the whole 9 yards. We will get to them. I mean, we will get to them. It's just how they fall in the scheme. And well, a lot of that deals with funding.
With the budget. And you know, Monday night, I had the opportunity to meet and talk with Matt Huffman, Senator Matt Huffman, who is the actual president of the Senate in the state of Ohio, Keith Faber, and then, let me think.
Like our state rep, wasn't she there?
Yeah, Susan Manchester was there, and Susan actually will be with us one more year, and then we'll go through that process where they switch districts, and she'll go another district, and then we'll get a guy by the name of
Craig Riedel.
And then there was a Rob McCleary there too, who is another senator, and got to talking to them, and we got talking about the state
who
of Ohio.
Will become our senator. We won't have Huffman after this.
That is correct.
If the way it's proposed stands up.
Yeah.
That is correct. So got to talk to those guys and listen to those guys a little bit on Monday night, and it sounds like the state of Ohio, and I think it might be because of the federal funding that the state of Ohio actually has some pretty good money right now. And we got talking about one of the things that I saw that was interesting and they talked about was like our schools in this area. So, you know, you look at Fort Recovery and St. Henry and Coldwater and Marion and Minster and Bremen, and, you know, we're testing out really, really good. We're really, really good on our state levels. And I think his number, and I'm probably going to screw this up, but I think his number was like $11,000 per student is what is the cost, you know, whether it be, you know, obviously salaries all the way down to the janitors and whatever. And he said, which is actually, you know, to me it sounded like a big number, but realistically it's not. And he said some of the schools in the state of Ohio are like $27,000 to $28,000 per student. So he said, we would like to just let this area do its thing. They got it going on. They got it figured out. And help these other, you know, because if we can do it for $11,000 a student, how come these people can't? So interesting to hear those guys talk, but I couldn't imagine, you know, getting elected and then that they throw you into, okay, well, you're going to be on the Ohio Board of Education. Well, you may not have a background, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't know how you get thrown into that. And I can see, and after I thought about it, I can see the fact that you and I get elected and we get thrown into that. I mean, the first thing we're going to probably do is say, what did we do last year? You know, what have we been doing?
Yeah.
Well, we did this, and it worked. Well, let's let's build off of that. And I think that's what happens forever. You know what I mean? I mean, nobody comes in there with a whole new agenda and says, scratch that, we're going to start over. And maybe that's what needs to be done in some areas. But interesting talks with those guys, and I kind of enjoyed listening to them.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to take one more break, and then we're going to come back and just wrap things up.
And we still have to talk about the renewal levy.
Yes.
Well,
that's how we're going to wrap things up.
Awesome.
Right after this.
Boers Welding and Steel in Fort Recovery has 35 years of business experience with over 150 years of welding experience. From lawnmowers to semis, bring it to Boers, where Steve can send a mobile rig to you. If it can be welded, Boers Welding and Steel can do it. Need something made and fabricated? It's their specialty. Call Renee today at 419-375-4087. Boers Welding and Steel, 2 miles north of Fort Recovery on State Route 49, or call Steve for a quick quote at 419-375-4087.
Need a better job where the benefits are great? A family-friendly company with competitive pay, where people stop and greet me when they see my smiling face. Cooper Farms, it's more than a workplace.
We're offering $1,000 sign-on bonuses for maintenance and CDL drivers. To apply, visit CooperFarmsJobs.com. Cooper Farms, it's more than a workplace.
This is Chad Guggenbello with CSG Consulting Finance and Brokerage in Fort Recovery. Has your business experience changed within your operation? Or maybe the place you banked with has seen the cultural change or the loss of a long-trusted officer or advisor? Now more than ever, you need a strategy and a plan of action in how to navigate this new season of business. Let me help with this plan. See me, Chad Guggenbiller, at 419-852-4049. CSG Consulting, your partner in planning.
Get ready for the return of the Cooper Farms Turkey Trot 5K. After a year off, we're ready to gobble our way through St. Henry on Saturday, November 6th, all while benefiting Everhart Hospice. In-person registration begins at 9 a.m. with race beginning at 10 a.m. The flat 3.1-mile course will start and finish at Cooper Farms Processing in St. Henry. Water will be provided on the course with chip timing provided by Speedy Feet. Following the race, enjoy a delicious hot turkey meal, carryout style. For pricing and full race details, visit SpeedyFeet.com and search for the Cooper Farms Turkey Trot.
Columbus Grove, good.
We're back.
Yep, Tenet. Sorry. I was looking
that's
at
all right.
Stuff.
We've been chit-chatting.
Oh, yeah.
We're talking football.
Yeah.
We're doing sports talk off the air.
So, we've got some things on the levy coming up on Tuesday.
On the ballot, yes. We have some levies on the ballot.
Well, unless you're like dumb and clean, then it's you got a Chevy on the levy. So
different levy, Jack.
What's on the ballot?
From a village perspective, we have two renewal levies. One's a 2.5 street levy, street maintenance levy, and the other one's a 2.3 mil general operating levy. They're both renewals, so it's no new money. They've been in place. I think Bert looked it up, but I know what I tell people, it's longer than 27 years because they were both in place when I started with the village. So they've been around for a long time, and they generate some money that we have earmarked every year to go towards things. And, you know, general money can go towards street lighting, police department, those types of things. So we usually use those as security measures in the street. Obviously, we got plenty of expenses there, so they go to maintenance. But the other thing that's on there is we do have four councilmen up for re-election. All four have put their name back in a hat and are running unopposed. So,
awesome.
So
make sure you vote. First of all, make sure you vote, and then make sure you vote for the continuing levies and for the renewal levies and for the town councilman.
Yeah, we got a good council. Right now we've got president is Al Post, who's been probably the longest tenured.
He is. He's going on 25 years.
Council member, and then next to him is Scott Pearson, and then Greg Schmitz is probably the second newest. Luke's probably the biggest rookie we got, right? Luke Kanapke.
Luke's going to be on his second.
And then we got Cliffy, who's probably the second longest. Be my guest right now, and then is Eric Feely.
Well, Scott had 8 years and then took 4 years off and came back. So
that's true.
So Scott actually has more more time years than Scott.
Than Cliffy.
Cliff, but not consecutive.
But a good group of guys sitting at the council chambers, and then I'll let you take care of the park board because Jack wanted to talk about the park board.
Park board members right now is president for the last nearly 30 years. Since inception. Well, I wasn't president that long, but Bill is a founding member of the park board from the early 80s.
It's incredible.
Just over 40 years this year, and he's been on the park board. And he should be the one talking about the parks because he can remember from 1981 when they started the park board. They had a diamond in the grass behind West School, and they had Forsyth Park.
I coached there.
Yeah, and so he could really talk to it. But Bill's been on it forever. We had some other long-term members. Harold Feely's been on it for quite a few years. We have Doc Carr has been on it for a number of years. And our newest member is Johan Niekamp.
Oh, that's a good one.
And Johan took Tom Strogler's place, who was on it for a number of years. We did lose a long-term board member this year, Mr. Bob Strogler. Went off, and he's going to
If you lost him, I know where to find him.
Okay.
Well, and I heard that's because he's running for mayor next time.
That
would be great.
He's going to be replaced at the beginning of the year, assuming that the school board makes the appointment, because two of these members are appointed by the school, three are appointed by the village. He's going to be replaced by Mr. Jose Fowler. So
awesome.
So we have...
Awesome. Well, guys, I tell you what, you're always full of... Something. Information.
Oh yeah, that too.
Yeah. And
I can talk for another half hour.
Oh yeah. We
got to talk football.
Hey, hang in there on sports talk.
Hey, so
do we have anything we need to get from Rocker?
Rocker, you got any questions? Okay. Rocker is kind of the silent mayor. I did not know that until I took the mayor job over, and then I was up at Brick Street one night, and he informed me that in case Roger Berman hadn't told me, he was. You're the silent mayor, or were you the
silent mayor?
Silent mayor.
In case you ever got caught in a scandal.
Yeah. So there's been a couple times where I had to go to Rocker and get some advice, and he's come through every time. Never a dull moment with the Rock.
That's
I'm
true.
Trying to think of a scandal that would involve the mayor and Rocker. Well, normally it's the ones that we make up while we're sitting at Brick Street having a beer is what it usually is. So.
This is 80s rock band, top 10 of all time.
Yeah.
Jesus.
I know. Some of his top 10s, we got to talk about that sometime, but that's all right. It's his top 10s. Look at him goofball over there. So, guys, I tell you what, I really appreciate you making time. I know this was an especially busy day for you guys. You have a lot of stuff going on, but I really appreciate it. Thanks for coming up, and thanks for everything you do for the Village of Fort Recovery, too.
It's a pleasure. Thanks, Jack.
Thank you, Jack. Stay tuned for sports talk right at 8 o'clock.
Almost. It's 8-ish.
For Jack Sogler, Neil Spencer, Rocker Bonvillain. We'll be back next week.
Thank you for staying tuned to Insight with Mr. Jack Stogler, right here on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. This show was being brought to you in part by those community-minded sponsors you heard during the show. Thank you.